Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios, it's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Show. I'm your man, Smitty, and we're here to discuss sleeper, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, you name it. League-winning sleepers, guys that you're going to get that are going to come in and potentially win you a league. And on screen here, these aren't all of them. These are some of them. These are guys that I feel that I've pinpointed as deep sleepers, because sometimes people get mad at you when you say sleeper and you say something like Javonte Williams is being slept on, which is an accurate statement. People can sleep on a big-name player. I don't care how anybody else defines it. This is my world. I decide what goes on here. And in my world, in my courtroom, a big-name sleeper can exist. All you have to do is throw a label next to it. All you got to say is a second-round sleeper. A sleeper is anybody being slept on. Period. Doesn't matter what anybody else says or defines or tries to tell me what I got to do in my own courtroom. I can do whatever I want in my courtroom. Like Joe Burrow, I'm going to smoke this pipe here, and then I'm going to make a ruling, and I'm going to rule that sleepers can be anybody. Javonte can be slept on. Boom, sleeper. DeAndre Swift going at 14, he's being slept on. Someone's driving, not even looking, sleeping at the wheel. Sleeping, there you go, sleeper. Anybody can be a sleeper, but for this particular episode, I decided to throw down a few people here that I think are deeper guys. Guys are getting in round 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Tyler Allgeier could be a league winner. Tony Pollard, who we just drafted in the Throne League with the 6.12, practically a 7th round pick, league winner. Ty Davis Price, you know I like Eli Mitchell. I'm drafting Eli Mitchell in the 6th round if he falls. Maybe 5.12 or something like that if I get, you know, sniped at running back. But you have to cuff Eli Mitchell to Ty Davis Price. If you don't, you're literally running the risk of buying a very expensive vehicle and it having no rims or tires come mid-season. You have to get the tires and the rims. The tires and the rims in this example are Ty Davis Price. Get him. Rashad White is coming for Leonard Fournette's job. Lenny comes in way overweight, dropping footballs, comes in with Tom Brady reportedly. Birdie's whispering in my ear in the offseason. You guys don't think I have people that I talk to? You know, there's people come in here and go, who are you? Who do you? Why do you know something? You don't think I have people that are beat reporters or friends with people that are connected to people? You don't think I hear things? Tom Brady wanted another pass catcher on roster. They brought in Giovanni Bernard because of that. They wanted somebody they could trust catching the football. They didn't develop anybody last year or trust anybody last year that came in that pulled in the football the way Tom Brady wanted. Tom Brady wanted another pass catcher drafted onto this roster, and Leonard Fournette comes in overweight and dropping footballs. Let me ask you a question for you Leonard Fournette truthers out there that already own him in some dynasty league. So you're like, Fournette's going to be great, Smitty. What are you talking about?
Hold on, Fournette. Be quiet. I'll speak here. What are you talking about, Smitty? What are you talking about? How on earth, Smitty, are you going to say that to me? That Leonard Fournette is going to be, his job is going to be taken by some rookie.
Watch Rashad White film. If you haven't watched Rashad White film, you shouldn't even open your mouth right now on the topic of Leonard Fournette. You really have nothing to say because Leonard Fournette is petrified. Leonard Fournette, if he's watched any of Rashad White's film, he knows that he runs better than him. He knows he's more elusive than him. He knows that he's harder to tackle. Yes, you heard me right. Harder to tackle than Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette walked into a good situation. Okay, Leonard Fournette was given up on, sent packing out of Jacksonville. One more strike, Leonard Fournette. Don't mess up. Goes out and gets arrested. They move on. They say, get out of here, Leonard Fournette. We've had enough. You're a cancer in the locker room, and you're not doing what we want on the field. He doesn't catch footballs the way that you want to. Drops footballs. He has had a season where they force-fed him, and he did pull in more passes than you ever thought he would one season. Of course, he's got the ability to. Anybody in the NFL has the ability to catch footballs and to play a whole lot better than they should in one category or another. The dude's not a PPR, natural PPR guy. Drops footballs, comes in. If I'm Leonard Fournette and I'm trying to keep my job and the team drafts some young, up-and-coming reception monster in Rashad White, what am I going to do? Show up overweight and drop footballs? He shows up overweight, dropping footballs. Does that sound like a motivated man to fend off a hungry kid in Rashad White that comes in and says, I'm not here to ride the bench. I came here to start. He didn't say this part, but I like to think he did. This is how I remember it anyway. I'm hungry. I'm trying to say.
Alert. Maximum levels reached. Prepare for transformation. Alert. Maximum levels reached. Prepare for transformation.
Ooh. Time for a Smitty rant.
Here we are again. Yet again, rant time. Okay, look, ladies and gentlemen, this one's simple. Where's my football? This one's simple. If I'm Leonard Fournette and the team drafts this kid, Rashad White, everybody's got pegged as probably the best pass catcher. This is the ETN of this NFL draft class, the running back class. This is the ETN. ETN by far the best catcher in his draft class, in terms of the running backs. This guy, Rashad White, comes in the best catcher in his draft class. And you walk in, Leonard Fournette walks in over, I'm sorry if this is a little offensive to some people, walks in a little overweight, dropping footballs left and right. Can't catch. Oh, hey, Rashad. Hey, what's up, buddy? Rashad comes in. This is Rashad White. Ready? I'm here to start. Which one do you like? Case in point, what looks better? A? What's up, buddies? Or? B, I'm here to start. Which one looks better? The answer is Rashad White. Rashad White's coming. Rashad White to the moon. Rashad White's the best pass catcher in the draft class. Rashad White is a 900 and 900 type of hybrid Alvin Kamara, taller, stronger than Alvin Kamara. Yes, you heard me. You heard me in the back. Could he fail? He absolutely could. That's why we're stealing him away in later rounds. Am I asking anybody to go draft Rashad White round 5? No. Please. We're probably going to mock draft tonight. If one of you drafts Rashad White in round 4 or 5 and has a big grin on your face like, Smitty, did I do good? I'm going to get my megaphone out. I'm going to tell you to take a lap, and I'm going to tell you you didn't understand the assignment or pay attention during class. Nobody, under any circumstance, should be reaching more than a half a round or a round above his ADP. That means if you're sitting there and on the pre-rank list, Rashad White is sitting there 10 running backs away, not 10 spots, 10 running backs away. You better not even be looking in his direction. If he's 15 overall picks away on the pre-rank list and you're sitting there, why not wait if you are picking 8 picks away, 5 picks away, you have really close picks back to back or something. Wait. If you've got to wait an entire round, come back around, you're almost waiting 20-something picks. by all means, if he's the 15th ranked player on the board, take him. But please, please, I've been begging you not to draft Kenneth Walker in round 4 and 5 in our mock drafts. If a person comes into our mock draft and sees us drafting Kenneth Walker in 4 and 5, what do you think they think of us? Okay? We need to be civilized in this community. We need to make sure we don't get overexcited about the sleepers and start grabbing them, picking them off left and right and at 4 or 5 rounds reaching. Like, Kenneth Walker, guys, 6th round. At the early, 6th round. Rashad White, I don't even know where his ADP is. We're probably talking at least, I would say, round 9. 9.1 to 10.1, probably. If anybody else has a different idea of where Rashad White's going, please let me know. Please let me know. Where's he going in your draft? Where's Rashad White going in your draft? Good Lord. Back on point, Rashad White, we took care of Rashad White. Tony Pollard is next. Tony Pollard is a league winner. I understand that some of you feel like Zeke Elliott. I'm going to try not to trigger another rant on this one. I realize some of you feel like 73 in here and only 31 thumbs up, says Terry. Terry's on patrol, guys, and he's not happy.
Terry's on patrol.
So please go ahead and punch that thumb up button. I know a lot of you like Zeke Elliott. This is a tough one for me because I'm a big Zeke Elliott believer. Michael Watley says Rashad White's a bench warmer. Somebody screenshot that. Thanks, Michael, for the content. Hey, Michael, we need a number of you Rashad White doubters to keep his ADP at bay. So we welcome this. Zeke Elliott, look, this one's tough for me because I have some nostalgia, you know, feelings going on here with Zeke. He's one of the last OGs that could literally, like, you got, you know, the Tomlinsons, the Gores, the, you know, the guys that can do it for multiple years. The Adrian Petersons, he's just now out of the league AP. He's been hanging on. Zeke Elliott, if there is a running back in the entire NFL that can kind of linger for 2 or 3 more years, it's probably Elliott. He is the one running back that fits the mold of the Adrian Petersons, the Frank Gores, the Tomlinsons, the guy that can play an extreme amount of games or seasons, like, and hang on for like 2 or 3 really bad seasons. You know what I'm saying? But that said, his MCL injury, we talked about this earlier on the other show. His MCL injury, this ligament on the side of the knee, is one of the most sensitive ligaments of all of these in terms of pain, in terms of getting it healed. When you get a helmet that gets hit oftentimes in the middle of the knee, that happens all the time. It can get sore, it can re-tear. It's hard to heal this MCL on the side of the knee here. When I tore my knee up, it went like this, sideways. I tore my MCL, I tore my LCL, I tore my meniscus, I tore my ACL, which is in the middle. There's the PCL and the ACL. I tore my ACL. I tore my knee up pretty badly. I didn't tear my PCL or my patellar tendon on that knee injury. I tore my patellar tendon on the other knee, on my good knee. But in this particular case, when I tore my MCL, that was the most painful part. That was the part that took the longest to heal. That was the ligament that I felt 5 years later, constantly in pain. And I know I'm no Zeke Elliott. I know I'm no, you don't need to remind me and just underhanded compliment me right now, okay? You don't need to come in and say, Smitty, you don't need to remind me I'm not an NFL athlete and just come in and drop something like that. I don't need to hear it. I understand that. I'm not a moron, okay? But I do know that I played football, I played basketball, I played organized intramural football, even in college, okay? So I know a little thing or two about some wiggle, some left and right action, some planting, swift, you know, spin move. I had it down, baby. And your boy Smitty felt that MCL pain for 5 years. It'd get cold, oh, it would ache. My point being is that don't think just because Zeke Elliott's MCL healed that he's not going to have other issues with it this season. Less than 1 year later. It's a brutal injury. It's a brutal injury that doesn't necessarily go away really quickly. I have a lot of experience with injuries in terms of reporting on it and having the knee injuries myself. So I do have a vast assortment of stories and examples and pattern recognition to throw at you. It's not me just coming out here trying to play doctor, okay? I know I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be a doctor, but I am probably the closest YouTuber that is not a doctor to give you advice on injuries. There are doctors out there, a lot of my friends, that know a whole lot more about it than I do, and I bring them on the show once in a while to set me straight, but I have a pretty good grasp of this stuff. Call back, I accidentally missed or rejected you. Anyway, Zeke Elliott's likely to get hurt if he's fed too much in 2022. Here are the facts. His mileage, his usage, his carry number is breaching 1,700 carries. There is no relevant running back whatsoever in the NFL that has a 1,700 carry total that they're breaching. And for anybody to think he's going to continue at the pace he needs to be a top 15 overall running back, or let's call him a top 25 overall player, the amount of volume that he would need, he won't hold up under that workload and that assignment. And if he gets scaled back too much, he's not going to produce even close to what you want, so he's a waste of a pick. So it's a double-edged sword. It's kind of like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is the only other player that has that concern of mileage that you can't really compare to anybody else, and you can't defend it. Derrick Henry may have less mileage. Go ahead and call back. I accidentally hung up on you. Derrick Henry has less mileage than Zeke when it comes to carries, but his amount of carries and volume in a tight window is so alarmingly different than anybody else in the NFL or in NFL history. It's crazy. He's literally fed 27 to 29 carries a game. And his efficiency has been down because he literally is getting older, losing a step. It's harder for him to hit the hole the same way. And people are a little confused on that because they see a guy with a stat total at the end of the game, at the end of the year, that is shockingly high. Even when he got hurt, it's like, hey, he led the league in rushing for multiple weeks after he was already out for the season. But he was overfed. It wasn't that he was ultra efficient. He had massive and massive amounts of volume. If you take a look at his game log for his career, he went from 4.9, or he went from 5.4 yards per carry to 4.3 last year. That's almost a yard per carry drop. That's tough. That tells you something about the offense. It tells you something about the carries he's getting. It tells you something about the efficiency. That's a big drop off. And if anybody thinks the rapture of A.J. Brown from the roster and only replacing him with the rookie in Treylon Burks that has a lot of questions at this point, let's be honest. The guy I liked a lot coming out of the draft, but now I have a lot of questions about how quickly he's going to translate the asthma. Is he in shape? What's going on? Is he going to pick things up quickly? No one really knows, and I don't know that Treylon Burks feels to me like a rock-solid immediate answer. Maybe he develops into something in a year and a half to 2 years from now when they get to Malik Willis in there. But right now, with the pressure on Tannehill looking over his shoulder because the team drafted a quarterback, which is a very, very big mind game for a guy like Tannehill, who isn't like Aaron Rodgers playing that game where he's like, okay, you draft Jordan Love behind me. Annoying, but that's not going to affect me. This is Tannehill, where he's not a good quarterback. He's a mediocre quarterback that was disguised as almost a good quarterback because his team was good, the record was good, Derrick Henry was good, A.J. Brown was good, the offense could move the football down the field. This is like one of those Jimmy G situations where it's like, is it Jimmy G or is it the team? And people that know what they're talking about, people that can evaluate properly, know that Jimmy G is getting carried or was getting carried by the Niners. And that's why Trey Lance is going to blow up. Little Trey Lance. I just slipped that one right in there. But when it comes to the Titans, I don't even know why I got on this topic. Derrick Henry. He's gonna fall off because the offense isn't going to move the football down the field. The offense is going to struggle to get first downs. The offense won't live in the red zone. The offense won't put Derrick Henry in a position to score touchdowns. Dial in again. I don't know what's going on with the phone line. How do we even get on Derrick Henry? We were talking about Tony Pollard. Zeke Elliott, Derrick Henry, the only two running backs that I struggle with believing in this year, almost no matter where their ADPs are. Zeke Elliott is looking at a younger, stronger, faster, more efficient player nipping at his heels. The Cowboys will be loyal to Zeke Elliott to start off the year. The moment Zeke Elliott falters, looks inefficient, they'll put more and more Tony Pollard into the equation. Tony Pollard's already going to be in the equation, so there's a natural ability for this guy. Is this going to answer this time? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you?
Hey, Smitty, it's Denny.
Denny.
It's Denny. I appreciate the love from the graveyard, from everything. Man, I got to tell you, I freaking love you.
Denny, hold on a second, Denny. I'm going to be a little hard on you and critical on you. Please don't get all upset because you flipped out on me the other day.
I won't.
You went to the bar. You got a little tipsy. Hold on, Denny. You got a little tipsy. You called up. You were absolutely in love with the show. You were talking about stuff. You were sounding good. You were bringing the thunder. You were a little tipsy. We had fun.
Yeah.
It brought a little excitement to the show. No one had a problem with it. Then you get into the text. You say, I apologize. I embarrassed myself. I said, Denny, don't apologize for being you. Okay, Denny, you brought fire. You were a little tipsy. It was okay. And then everything seemed cool. You called me back again.
Yeah.
Okay, you called me back again. I'm still live. And you asked me some weird questions, but it was okay. We still didn't care. Denny, you were being you. Hold on. Denny.
Hold on. Dude, I appreciate you. Yeah, whatever it was.
Denny, hold on.
I appreciate you.
Hold on.
All right, I'm ready.
Denny, are you drinking again? Denny, listen to me.
All right, I'm listening to Smitty. Sergeant. Dude, I'm right here. I freaking love you. I love the guys. I love the graveyard shit. So I'm right here.
Denny.
I was out of line.
Denny, listen. Hold on one second. Slow down. I love you, Denny.
Okay.
Nothing has changed. But for some reason, you got off the last time we talked thinking I did something. I don't even know where you... Denny, I'm busy. I'm running a live stream. There's nothing I could have possibly done. I think you tried to call into the phone line.
You were nothing but the best.
Denny, hold on. Denny, we got to paint the picture for the audience. They don't know what's going on. So you literally, I think I turned the phone line off, Denny. And then, Denny, I think you tried to call and you thought I blocked you because the phone line was off. I don't have the phone line on the whole show all the time because, you know, people will call in when I'm in the middle of a rant. And so you go into the comments of my YouTube channel and say, this content sucks. Smitty blocked me. This content sucks. Smitty, remember when Smitty liked Mike White? You went into my comments, Denny, and started attacking me.
Awful, man. I'm not proud, but you know what I like? Was that all your boys? I had my back on that whole thing, but no, I was way out of line on that one. You wouldn't believe, because I got my ass kicked at the meeting, you know what I mean? My $1.99 meeting, I got my ass kicked over there. You know, like, you're the talent, but you don't understand. Like, I got my ass kicked.
Denny,
Denny,
take an Uber. I appreciate you, Denny. Don't think anything negative when you hang up here. You're always welcome back. You're on the graveyard. I'll even show you right now. I put you on the tombstones.
Graveyard.
You're on the one.
Benny Blanco told me that I was on the main tombstone.
You're on one of the main tombstones, bro. And please be safe getting home. We need to make sure this stays fictitious. Okay, Denny, I don't like the idea of you out drinking and driving, so make sure you Uber home, okay?
I wasn't driving.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't drinking and driving. No, I know you guys have my back. No, I wasn't drinking and driving.
Okay, no more attacking me in my comments while I'm just busy working hard like a little bee over here, okay? For you, Denny. I work for you.
Smitty, I love you. I'm so sorry.
No problem. Denny, I'm a very forgiving man, Denny. I appreciate you. We'll talk to you later. I'm going to keep the show flowing, all right?
Oh, by the way. No, this is Guy that's copying you. You want to hear me?
You what?
This is Guy copying you. I'm dead ass. It's, it rhymes with, what the hell's it? The guy that does this thing, he's copying you. It's, He goes, I'm a headliner. I'm a headliner. This guy is copying you, right?
Who's copying me, Denny? Who's copying me, Denny?
I'm going to tell you who's copying you, and I know my soldiers better listen. They're copying you, Smitty, right? This guy is doing, you know how you do the thing? Which I think is funny. Even when you're like, man, you go, hey, oh, really? Oh, you think that's that? And then you get on the thing, and you go, oh, hey, Smitty, I do that. There's this guy on he's copying you, and I got to get the soldiers together.
No, you know, we don't need to send anybody anywhere to cause havoc. We just need to focus on ourselves. Like, people copy me all the time. Denny, it's okay. Denny, get home safe. If you're home right now, just get all snug inside the bed. Go to sleep to the Fantasy Football Show. I'll whisper sweet nothings in your ear all for the next hour talking fantasy football. Denny, I appreciate you. I got to hang up on you right now. But Denny, Denny.
I love you, you're the best, yeah.
You're the best,
Denny. He does that. That thing, like, he's like two things away from doing the same thing you do. I like what you do.
Are you trying to say when I use the megaphone and I go, hey, hey, hey? Is that what you're doing?
I'm trying to say, you know I love you. I'm trying to say, there's this other podcast, and you're a beast, and we're soldiers, right? But when you do this thing, like, I think it's funny as shit. I love it. Even if right now you had, No, there's this dude that does this thing and he's copying you, Smitty. I swear to God.
What? Wait.
It's this podcast. It rhymes with,
It rhymes with.
But it rhymes with.
He only knows what it rhymes with, not what it's called.
It rhymes with Smitty. It rhymes with
Then he fell asleep. Hey, Denny, we'll talk to you later, pal. Call on anytime. I think he fell asleep. All right. Anyway, he'll probably dial back. I can't control Denny. But yeah, I mean, Denny, I appreciate you, Denny, but like literally I did nothing. And Denny's in my comments saying, their content sucks. Smitty blocked me. And he's in the comments. I didn't block him. He's commenting. So, Denny, appreciate you. All right. People copy us all the time. But nobody does it like us. So, we're not going to take offense. We're going to take it as flattery. But, yeah, I mean, you can let them know if you see it. Say, this is Smitty's bit. What are you doing? Okay. So, anyway, we were talking about Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard season is here. In a nutshell, Tony Pollard is headed to the moon in 2022. You can either get on board or you can watch the shuttle take off. And the fact that you can draft Tony Pollard right around 7-1 to 8-12. It's kind of a wide range. You got to make a determination based on where he's falling in that pre-rank list, as I mentioned over and over and over. But people will oftentimes draft him too high. sometimes people will wait too long and he'll get taken and sniped and people are like, yeah, I missed on Pollard. It's a little easier to grab a guy and not get sniped than people think. It's all about the pre-rank list. If you aren't counting the players and looking at the pre-rank list and saying to yourself, I'm 15 picks away and he's the fifth ranked player, you have to take him. In the case of Kenneth Walker, Kenneth Walker was literally the fifth ranked player overall when we were about 12 picks away and we couldn't do anything about it. And we knew he was going to get picked off. He got picked off 2 picks before our pick. We couldn't take him early. We were in a bind. It was in one of those spots where at 5.1 in the throne draft, we had Mike Williams or Kenneth Walker. We had to go Mike Williams. We needed a wide receiver. Part of me regrets it in a way, but part of me absolutely loves the fact that we got Tony Pollard later. So I think Austin Starks' awful take. What? Tony Pollard as a league winner? Let me guess, Austin, you are a big Zeke Elliott proponent, and Zeke Elliott is a second rounder to you, Austin. Dial into the phone line, Austin. It's always open.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Call into the show. Dial 602 NFL. Dong.
I mean, call in and talk about why it's a bad take. Dylan or ETN? Come on, bro. Come on, bro. That's Jay Wiz, that's kind of take a lap worthy. Like, ETN is a third rounder. Dylan goes, I don't know, late fifth round. Where did Dylan go in the throne draft? Dylan went about sixth round. So this isn't close. This is about 3 rounds apart. So baby, I'll make you take a little bit of a lap, not the whole.
Take a lap.
Just a little bit of a lap, bro. Try dialing in again. The phone lines are acting a little weird today. It hung up on you. It's like ringing like a time and a half, and I got to hit the button quick. I don't know what's going on. So dial in again, Austin. I'm waiting for the what's my take so bad about? That I think Tony Pollard is going to the moon? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? It may help with everyone if they see other drafts. Do a draft on ESPN and NFL. Okay, Tyler, we'll do a mock draft on ESPN next time. Maybe tonight. Voicemail segment is next. Evan says, in my opinion, I would take James Cook over Pollard. I mean, that's not crazy, but I wouldn't. I love Tony Pollard, but you could understand that. That's not crazy. What's up? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show.
Hey, Schmitty.
Yeah, who's this?
This is The Voice.
Whoa, this is the voice of the show. The Voss. The Voss. Why don't you call in more, Voss? This is the voice. Can I get a... You're watching the Fantasy Football Show live.
Fantasy Football Show live.
This is the Voss. What can I do for you? Oh, hidden
hey,
one. Smitty, oh, secret
just wanted
man.
To let you. Hey, listen. I just wanted to let you know you're doing a hell of a job. And what do you think about Miles Sanders? Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Miles Sanders. That's a good one. Stay here. Don't hang up yet. And number two, I want you to try and call in. Like, I know you won't be able to do it every show, but I want you to try and call in like once a show. We need to hear from the man behind the curtain, the Voss. We'll call you the Voss or the Voice. I think Miles Sanders is interesting if you can get him in the right place. But like in example, the throne draft that we're doing right now. He went, let me show that draft. He went at to this team right here at the 5.6. And I think that's not crazy, but you got to look around him and see who you like more. Like, do I like Hollywood Brown, who went at 5.4? Yeah, I like Hollywood Brown more. Had Mike Williams fall in there. Now there's a little bit of a distance between those two, 5.1 and 5.6, but I'm just kind of trying to paint a picture. Do I like Kenneth Walker over Sanders? Absolutely. Do I like Mitchell, who went right after him? I kind of think they're very similar. And the only difference between Mitchell and Sanders is you can cuff Mitchell to Ty Davis Price, who's also on my breakout sleeper, win a league sleeper list. And then A.J. Dillon went at 5.12. I'd rather have A.J. Dillon over Miles Sanders 10 times out of 10. I'd probably rather have Tony Pollard over Miles Sanders, but I can understand if somebody thinks Sanders could outscore him. So I'm kind of torn on that one as to whether I'm going to draft him in 2022 at all, because I feel like it's hard to draft him in a reasonable place. You either have to take him in a place where I have a handful of players I like better, or let him go. So I'm just letting him go. What do you think about him, the voice?
Well, I got I like him more than I like Zeke Elliott.
Yeah, okay.
And I just yeah, I like him more than I like Zeke. But listen, on another note, Atlanta Falcons running back situation. Who is it going to be? Or who do you think it will be?
Tyler Allgeier. And I have that right here, good buddy. He is the second player. It's not really in an order, because I like Rashad White probably more than I like Tyler Allgeier. But I like Tyler Allgeier. He's right here. He's right here for a reason. They're going to potentially... we were going to draft Cordero Patterson, maybe, like we were talking about it in the throne draft, because he was multi-position eligible. But because Tyler Allgeier is going to probably be the starting running back at some point, if not right away, he's really, really good. He's so shifty. He's strong. He looks like a Ronnie Brown of old, if you remember Ronnie Brown and how physical and strong that guy was. That's what Tyler Allgeier reminds me of. But Sleeper ripped the wide receiver eligibility from Cordero Patterson. They did it today. How do you do that in the middle of drafts? People have drafted Cordero Patterson as a running back and wide receiver, and Sleeper ripped it from him today. We almost took Cordero Patterson because of that feature, that added bonus, and they took it away in the middle of the offseason. That's irresponsible. That's reckless. But to answer your question, it's Tyler Allgeier season, man. I'm going to even give Tyler Allgeier a moon call.
To the moon.
Because he is, in my opinion, one of the craftiest, as you can see on my screen right here. That's why I have Tyler Allgeier here. One of my most crafty late players that I have to own in almost every league. These are them right here. These are all very late guys. Now, Russell Gage might climb to a point where no one's going to be able to steal him away at all. But if you take him off the table, it's these guys right here. Pollard, Tyler Allgeier, Ty Davis Price, Rashad White. I really, really like these four. And then, of course, Russell Gage. You still there,
awesome,
buddy?
Awesome. So you're saying Tyler Allgeier to the moon.
To the moon. Give us one more. You're watching the Fantasy Football Show live.
You're watching the Fantasy Football Show live.
Appreciate
with your host, Smitty.
Hey, the Voss. El Voss. La Voss. The Voss Man. I don't know what we're going to call you, but we need you to call in once a show, buddy boy. Okay?
Hey, Smitty, excellent. Keep up the good work. And all the little Smittians in Smittyville, dial, call into the show. Let's go.
602 NFL dong.
602 NFL dong.
Attaboy. Appreciate you, man.
Take care.
You are live on the Fantasy Football Show. Who am I talking to?
You are officially talking to Austin.
Austin, are you the one that said terrible take?
I am that person.
Okay, Austin, tell me, first of all, what's the terrible take, Austin? The Tony Pollard take?
A rational obsession with stat data.
I can't hear you, Austin. You got me in your pocket.
I think you have an irrational obsession with stat data.
A rational assessment with scat backs. Tell me how Pollard can't be an every down back.
Why didn't they make him an every down back last year?
Because Zeke Elliott's been there in front of him.
And what has changed?
Zeke Elliott got hurt, and he's looking like he's falling off a cliff.
Did he look like he was falling off a cliff, though, because he was injured?
Partially. He's also got near he's also got near 1,700 miles. Look, I told everyone to draft Zeke Elliott last year. He did very well in big picture wise. So you're talking to a person who literally said Zeke Elliott is a guy to go get about midway through the season. I definitely change directions as the news comes. I change as my heart takes in and my mind takes in a situation and says, look, we got to make a change. The wind's blowing this way now. So it was trade Zeke if you can. Trade him high if you can. Even though I said draft him and I like him. Things change all the time. But I felt Zeke Elliott declining as the season went on, even before he was out with the injury. Now, he did struggle with the MCL injury for quite some time. But that MCL is not something that just feels great that next season when you have a big MCL injury as he did. It's going to be sore. He's going to have swelling. If he gets hit there, he's going to be out for a game or two. This isn't something that's just going to go away because he completely healed in the offseason. MCLs are very, very tricky, especially as you're older. When you're older, injuries are a lot worse. When you're older, recovering's a lot worse. When you're older, you lose a step. Zeke Elliott has guaranteed, lost a step compared to last year. Every year he will be lesser from this point on. Tony Pollard is 5 yard per carry type of running back in the NFL. Is he a little bit smaller in stature or the way he looks or builds or the way he's built or runs than Zeke Elliott comparatively? Yeah, but Pollard is a monster between the tackles, also catching the football, out wide. Everywhere you place this guy, he's electric. He looks electric. He plays electric. He's got a motor, and he's fresh, young, speedy. And I can tell you right now, if he gets the volume, which maybe he doesn't get, Austin, there's a reason why Pollard's going late. There's a reason why, Austin, you're saying I have a rational assessment of my scat backs. There's a reason, Austin, this is a bold list. These are deep sleepers, Austin, not guaranteed locks that we've all come across and said this is for sure 100% going to happen. There is a reason these guys are sleepers, Austin. There's someone standing in Zeke.
But you're not paying a sleeper price for him.
Yes, you are. Tony Pollard's going in.
Pollard is going above Kareem Hunt, a proven asset. He's going above Kenneth Walker, a high upside rookie. There's a whole list of guys he's going above who are proven assets in the NFL.
Austin, sleeper to me, and I defined it at the top of the show, is anybody being slept on. Anybody. You could be a second round sleeper. Javonte Williams is a sleeper in my book because everyone's sleeping on his value. This is my world. This is how I define sleeper. I started the show talking about it that way. And Tony Pollard is being slept on to a severe degree because even if he doesn't deliver what I'm saying he will, he'll earn you in flex value. He'll earn you a 7.1, a 7.8, sometimes an 8.5 ADP value investment. That's what you're plugging into that. That is a sleeper, bro. You're talking about Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's a sleeper now. He's no longer a standalone fourth round pick. He's going at about 7 to 8 round territory. That's a sleeper. You could put him in. Kenneth Walker's a sleeper. They're bigger name sleepers than, let's say, a Ty Davis Price or a Tyler Algier. So you gotta label it, or people lose their shiat and they come in and say, this isn't a sleeper. How is he a sleeper? I've heard of him. A sleeper is somebody you haven't heard of. Why? Because somebody said that's how you define a sleeper. Zeke Elliott is on the tipping point. And because there is a chance, and I don't know if you heard me say this, Austin, that's why I'm a little confused right now. I said, is there a shot that Zeke Elliott has one more year? Or is there even a chance he lingers for 3 more seasons and just kind of sits there and does what Adrian Peterson did for 3 years. Just average, taking up space, thorn in the side. Tony Pollard never gets in there. I've already admitted there's a certain percentage that that could happen, Austin. But there's also a percentage that this guy's not going to stay healthy because they're going to try to feed him. And he only knows one mode, full go. And injury's extremely, extremely likely for him, Austin. Extremely.
Isn't that with every running back, though?
No, not to the degree that Elliott is facing more injury risk than most running backs in the entire NFL. And if you really believe that true, I don't know how to help you, Austin, because he's an older running back that's coming off an MCL with a clear eyeball test drop-off. We can see the drop-off. It's happening slowly and gradually because he's getting older. He's a step slower every year. That's going to happen. That's a human being. He's a human being. He's not a robot. But, he's not some...
Okay, but you are paying 40 spots higher than somebody like Alexander Mattison, who has proven that he is a three-down workhorse. And don't tell me that Ezekiel Elliott has a higher chance of getting hurt than Dalvin Cook, because he doesn't.
Yeah, he. Look, I'm a big advocate of avoiding Cook because of the labrum tears over and over. So you're not going to have me sit here and say that Cook's not an injury risk, but I would say Zeke Elliott's a higher injury risk than Cook. Yes, he's older, bro.
I guess my simple issue is, I think the price you are paying for Pollard, you are betting on an injury to Zeke. And I understand that. You're betting on an injury to Zeke. But I would rather bet on an injury to somebody like Dalvin and get Mattison like 4 to 5 rounds later.
Who's to say I have to choose? You're acting like you can pick that and I can't. I'm a big advocate of drafting Mattison deep in a draft. So like that's a relevant comparison and conversation.
I guess my only issue is the price tag. That's it. Just the price tag.
So you still believe awful take, huh? Awful take to say that Pollard at 7th round value can't earn that value back even if he doesn't do what I think he's going to do. You don't see him as an equal potential risk to take as a Clyde, who a lot of people hate, let's see, what other running backs are going to be around that range where he is? Running backs like Cordarrelle Patterson, Devin Singletary, Chase Edmonds, James Cook, Rashad Penny, Michael Carter, James Robinson, Isaiah Spiller. These are the running backs that are going to be there. Kareem Hunt potentially, and then maybe a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You're telling me that is a reckless place to take Tony Pollard?
I think on underdog, the seventh and eighth round price tag for Tony Pollard is reckless to draft him there. I just think so.
Hey, man, we're all entitled to our opinions, but the only difference is, like, just to give you my perspective of your perspective, is that I don't mind your perspective. I don't think your perspective's trash. I don't think your perspective is awful. But it's funny that you think that my perspective, and I'm not mad at you, bro, but it's funny that you think my perspective's awful when you could argue both of them. Your perspective that you don't like Pollard there makes sense, as does my perspective that he could explode from there. He could win you a league. If he gets in there as a top 10 running back, you win a league. So even if you don't like it, even if you don't want to invest in it, go down that road, I would venture to say have more of an open mind to the fact that things could happen differently than you think. You know, there's definitely 100 different ways these things could go. And Elliott, it's not just injury, it's also decline. And if Pollard's out there, and you could almost bet that Pollard's going to be out there way more this year than last year, especially with the wide receiver room being lighter. They're going to want to throw to Pollard a little more. He's a good pass catcher. When he delivers, they're naturally hunting for a playoff spot, hunting for a division win. They're naturally going to want to get their playmakers on the field. And if Pollard's making plays, and he always does, they're going to probably shove him on the field more and more and more, even if Zeke Elliott doesn't go away.
Okay, but my point is, one more point, is does Pollard have any more upside than any of those other handcuffs going behind him that are that could actually start in your flex if you need them on a weekly basis? Like Kareem Hunt, like Melvin Gordon, like, Alexander Mattis, he's not going to start on your flex. But there's guys that are going rounds later than him. That's my point.
I don't mind the debate of do you like Madison or Hunt or Pollard more. Bro, if I'm on the clock, I'm going to struggle with which one to take. You're not going to like get me have a gotcha question or a take with that because those are all very arguable calls. I'm not going to sit here and say you take Madison over Pollard. You're a moron. I can't believe you did that. I can understand it. I love Madison. I'm one of Madison's biggest advocates. In fact, I snipe the Cook owner in almost every draft I'm in. Madison's always living on my roster. He's a win a league player, but so is Tony Pollard. And to answer your question, and then I got to let you go, to answer your question, Tony Pollard absolutely has more upside than most every running back around him. But that's the difference between, like, we're arguing about two different things and we're not even on the same page. It really comes back down to the core of the argument. You don't believe in Pollard and I do. I see a top 5 to 10 running back if he's starting. You don't. You see him as a scat back. I don't. I see him as an electric potential 4.7 to 5 yards per carry running back if getting fed volume, and you don't. So like us arguing about the later parts of this conversation are meaningless if at the core of it, you don't like Pollard and I do. It, like that's where it ends. That's where it ends. There's no need to even go down the road. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd be
open-minded about Pollard, bro. Take a look at some of his footage from last year. It sounds to me like you're holding on to Zeke for some reasons maybe that are understandable. You might own him in a league or something, but I'd be careful. But hey, I got to grab this call. Appreciate you, man. Call in anytime.
Appreciate you.
I don't mind a debate. I'll debate anybody. And he was respectful about it. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you?
Hey, Smitty.
What's up? Who is this?
How's it going? I just wanted to... This is Looter.
Looter! Where have you been?
Oh, I'm a busy man. I actually just got back from work. I just tuned into the show, listening to the Pollard take and the debate you guys, a little debate you guys had, the Pollard and Madison. I just wanted to drop some facts on Pollard because I think it's kind of gone under the rug and not everyone is fully aware of what's going on right now in Dallas.
Is Looter, right? This is Looter?
This is Looter, yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to put you on screen, Looter. Go ahead. Not your picture, but just like the on the phone's Looter. Okay, go.
All right, so Zeke was healthy all of last year, and Pollard finished 29th. Alexander Mattison started 3 games, and he finished 39th.
To correct you, Zeke wasn't healthy all year. He played injured, but go ahead.
Okay, I see. But regardless, I mean... The opportunity's there, and you have to take it. I think he's definitely a player that should be considered.
What's this thing that you wanted to enlighten us about, though? Because it sounded like you had like a hidden treasure.
Oh no, it was just no. I mean, just in general. I mean, obviously,
like I'm going in general, to I mean, in 10 seconds. I'm going to reveal the reason why Tony Pollard is going to drop loads all over the field in 2022. It's because should be considered.
He got.
It's okay, Looter. Go ahead.
He's an explosive player on an explosive offense with an aging quarterback in front of him that if you watch the tape, Zeke is washed. I mean, I was a huge Zeke fan his rookie season, and he was fantastic, you know? He was good for another year or two after that as well. The consistency, the amount of carries he was getting and just performing. But watching tape last year, and I sold him early last year in my Dynasty League, thankfully. But just watching tape, you can see he is not the same player at all. And I think moving forward, Pollard gets more touches, and he's explosive, yeah. And he makes the most of them. And he doesn't finish 29th, which he finished last year. He finishes ahead of that, easily into the top 25 this year. Easily. Yeah. I mean, the upside, wherever he goes with it, he goes with it. So,
all right, what else you got for me, Luter? Appreciate you.
Yeah, that's about it, man. Draft Pollard, draft Walker.
Draft Pollard. Call in anytime, Luter, and get in the chat more. I haven't seen you in a while. So call in anytime. Bring us a real treasure next time. I want some dirt.
I'm always in the chat community. This is I'm Luter on Sleeper, and I'm Ronaldo on.
Oh, Ronaldo. On okay. Okay. All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate
you. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you? Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Ron.
Ron, what's up, Ron?
Hey, hold on a second.
To the moon, baby.
I had to drop that one.
What's
hey, speaking of Pollard, okay, I did two drafts today. I did a puppy draft and I did a main three draft. And so in my main draft on Underdog, I ended up with Prescott and Stafford as my quarterbacks. Kind of a little shaky with some of my running backs. I ended up with Breece Hall, Elijah Mitchell, Tony Pollard, Isaiah Spiller, and Gus Edwards. I think you'll like my receivers. I had CeeDee Lamb to go with Prescott, Marquise Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Boyd, Osborne, Pierce, Campbell, Washington, and Ekine. And I also had for my tight end, Kelce and Higbee. What do you think of that team?
Yeah, I mean, that works. I love Breece Hall. You can always tweak these drafts. You got to find out where that player is going that you're taking a little too early. I've had people say, hey, what do you think of my team? And then I look at it and I'm like, look, an Underdog, and especially Underdog where you can use promo code SMITTY. Okay, guys, promo code SMITTY. Go to the link in the description, use promo code SMITTY, or click on this Underdog banner on thefantasyfootballshow.com. But, like, you literally can find these gems like DK and Walker, Kenneth Walker around 6-7. Herbert and Burrow are two of my favorite guys to grab late. I feel like they fall so far. So my advice to you is I think maybe to win the big bag, you're going to need to squeeze out, getting a one or two of those guys around later and then trying to fit in somebody else in between. I think most people's problem on Underdog or when they do a best ball draft is they reach on a player or two because they're not patient. And really, on Underdog, you should be patient because I'm not saying everybody has money to do just draft after draft. They're $25 a piece, but those are cheap little entry fees. So if you can do four or five of them on the year, spend about $125, have a nice shot at maybe getting $1,000 back or more, because they pay $1,000 from 400th place to 470th place. The payouts are amazing. But what you got to do is try and be patient and let players fall, because the odds are the odds. If DK is getting scooped up in the third round by you and you're not pushing your luck on it, you're eventually just going to end up having a team where I look at it and I evaluate. And I'm like, I feel like you're missing one player inside the top four rounds because you squeezed everybody up when you didn't need to. There are so many players like Hall fall. Like, where did Hall fall? Where did you take Hall? Third?
Where did I take Hall?
Yeah.
I took him. Because this is what happened.
I'm going to have to let you go because we're running out of time, so we got to keep it short. Where did you take Hall?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell you. I ended up taking Hall in 3-7, 37th pick.
I can tell. Third round, I've been putting three fingers up. You took him too early.
But all the running backs were gone by then, because I picked CeeDee Lamb in the first round and came around because
Lamb's too early. CeeDee Lamb's too early. See, you're starting off like, I'm not saying
actually,
you didn't draft.
Oh, that was the second round.
Huh?
That was the second round. I'm sorry. It was the second round. I picked up Kelce and CeeDee Lamb. Then I came back and I picked up Prescott and then Breece Hall because all the running backs were pretty much gone.
Is this a one QB league?
All the top tier. Huh?
This is a one QB or is this a super flex?
No, this is a one QB.
And you took Dak in this third round?
I took him. His ADP is 85. I took him at 84. Okay. I waited for Dak to come down to me. I got Mitchell at 60. His 69.
Yeah.
I got Pollard at 85, which he had 85.
Yeah, here. I can tell you real quick, and I got to let you go, but call back anytime. I'm not trying to rush you off. I got to get to these voicemails. But I'm going to tell you right now, you did a little reach city there, okay? Because Breece Hall, even though we took Breece Hall at 3.1 in the throne draft, there's a lot of context around that. There were no running backs left. He was high on the pre-rank list. I can pretty much almost guarantee you that Breece Hall was not at the top of the pre-rank list. He was probably still a ways down. You have to use the odds game when you're doing multiple drafts on Underdog because you can afford to be patient. You can afford to mess up a draft and get sniped. But what you can't afford to do is grab people too early because at the end of the day, you're not going to win with the team if you're reaching. Kelce's not a first rounder, in my opinion. Kelce's a second rounder. I know there's no Tyreek Hill, but you can only water a plant so much. Kelce's getting enough water, enough targets. There's not much more he can do. The only thing that's going to probably happen is the defenses are going to focus on him more and shutting him down more. He's going to take bigger hits than normal. Kelce doesn't get a bump because Tyreek Hill's gone. Kelce increases an injury risk because Hill's gone. Hill being gone increases his injury risk. He's also older. He's also already at that point where we worry about him missing multiple games because he's gone so long without doing it. It's kind of hard to imagine it's going to continue. It could. I'm not saying he won't for sure earn you your first-round value back, but he has to hit a home run in order for you to get that value back. So you started off the draft with the reach. I don't mind the Lamb part. You reached again with Hall. This is all constructive criticism because I want you to dominate, bro. It's not because I'm trying to be a jerk about it. I'm just saying you could have got Hall in round four still, regardless of because his ADP is round four. Or if you ended up getting sniped, I feel like it was still a reach given the ADP. And that's coming from a person that just took Hall at 3.1, but in context. And it's a different league.
Honestly, Breece Hall was the next one on the board, and I had no running backs at that point.
Okay.
So that's why I took him I took him. I reached him because they were gone. And I'd rather have him reach a little bit for Breece Hall and have somebody than have nobody.
I guess my next question would, or my next comment would just be, Kelce put you in a spiral to where you're chasing running back, chasing wide receiver. That's why early tight end doesn't work.
Yeah, that's why
as well.
I mean, I think my puppy draft was a little bit better because I ended up with Mahomes.
Yeah.
And then I got Najee Harris, Breece Hall, Herbert, Edwards.
All right, bro.
My wide receivers, I ended up with Williams, Metcalf, and Hopkins. So.
All right, man. I got to let you go because we got to keep things moving.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate you, pal. Right, don't take offense to me hanging up on you. I just got to keep things going. We're aggressive here. We can't slow down. In fact, we might have a new thing where we just hang up on people if they're taking their time. It's not a offensive type of thing. I don't want people to get all upset at me. You know, I could see Denny getting mad and writing in my comments that the content's horrible if I hang up on him. But what's up? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. This is a Power Hour phone segment. Don't spit out your entire lineup and life story or bring your grandma on the phone. What can I do for you?
Smitty, it's Jocelyn to the moon. How are you, buddy?
Jocelyn, what is up? Jocelyn is this guy right here, the highest super chatter of the entire year in a single live stream. $300. Jocelyn, what can I do for you?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to know, Who would you rather have as an RB3 slash flex? Tony Pollard or A.J. Dillon?
Probably A.J. Dillon, but I want both of them. And I don't think you could go wrong, but A.J. Dillon feels a little more locked into right now volume, whereas, you know, Pollard's going to definitely try and earn it. And I think he will, and I think he could outscore him. But it's like these two are neck and neck. They're neck and neck, man. You know, like the wind could blow one way and I could go back to Pollard. But I feel like AJ Dillon's already got a good grip. So he's already flex worthy. And Pollard's kind of questionable flex worthy, but he's kind of there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, man. Because in a lot of the mock drafts that I've been doing around like round 6, 7, or 8, you know, see that, you know, Pollard and Dillon are always there around those three rounds. So I mean, normally I'm targeting either Pollard or Dillon as my flex. So I just wanted to see, what you thought about that.
Yeah. I would take one in one league and one in the other. They're that close to me. I could go either way. You know what I mean? If I had two drafts side by side, I would diversify, take Pollard in one, AJ Dillon in the other. I would struggle if I only had one draft and they're both on the board. So you really can't go wrong. One will probably outscore the other, so you'll ultimately be wrong. But, I mean, you can't, assessment-wise up front, can't really tell which one's going to have more volume because there's obstacles in both their ways. I think Aaron Jones is probably, he's injury prone, you know, too. He hasn't shaken that injury prone label. He really hasn't. People could say he has, but he hasn't. He's getting older. That injury concern is definitely going to pop back up. But it's pretty close, man.
Okay. All right, Smitty, man. That's the only question that I have for the day. Just keep up the good work and Jocelyn to the moon.
Jocelyn to the moon. Appreciate you, buddy boy. Thanks for the super chat. Jocelyn, man. Jocelyn to the moon. Let's do a little moonshot for Jocelyn. He is the highest super chatter of the year in a single live stream. What's up? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Smitty. This is Draper. I got a question for you about...
Go fast.
Sorry, I'm drawing a... James Conner. I, every mock draft I'm doing, I'm seeing that a lot of people are starting to reach for him, sometimes as early as the second round, mainly the second and the third. And so I'm comparing him against some of the other backs that are kind of below him and just slightly ahead of him. What do you think about him going into this season? I know that obviously the Chase Edmonds departure definitely, I think, inflates his value a little bit. Darrell Williams, not sure what that's going to mean for him. What are your thoughts on James Conner?
I like James. I think we're going to start implementing this clock. You're going to get 30 seconds to deliver your question, and then you're gone. And I feel bad for Ron. I'm not trying to rush you off. I'm implementing this after your call. I feel bad because Ron, I didn't know that was you. You said Ron, and I honestly, Ron, I'd be lying to you if someone said a first name and I knew what anybody was talking about. You know how many names come through this year and go out this year, Ron. So I actually feel bad because Ron's been super chatting like a madman, and I like rush him off the phone and. You know, so Ron, my apologies, but this is the flow of the show. It's nothing to do with you. And I'd love to talk more about this stuff. And join my text line, Ron, if you aren't already on it. You're probably on it. You've probably been texting me and I don't even know it. Like that's how things go one ear and the other. So Ron, order the text service. You and I can go back and forth on this stuff. But I think we're going to implement the timer now and you literally get hung up on once the timer is over. That's just, unless I deem that it's such a great debate or conversation, we'll go for it. Conner, I worry about Conner in the throne draft. He got taken at in the third round. And it's not that I don't like Conner. I predicted Conner. Nobody in the industry, this sounds arrogant when I say stuff like this, but it's fact. It's fact. No one in the industry documented what I documented when Lev Bell was not even hurt. He wasn't even talking about a holdout. No one thought he was going to hold out. He wanted a new contract, but there was no talk about a holdout. I wrote a bold prediction. I went on NBC Sports Radio. I said, James Conner is going to win leagues for people. People said, who? James Conner, is he even the backup in Pittsburgh? James Conner will win leagues for people. Then Lev Bell started getting unhappy. Then Lev Bell, hell, and then, oh, before you know it, this guy, James Conner, wins leagues for people. Absolutely wins leagues for people. That was when he was undervalued. Then people bought into him. You paid a high price tag. He failed you. Then he came in under the radar again, and he kind of won leagues for people last year. Now you're paying the price tag again. There's a pattern here, and when you've got to pay the high price tag for Conner, it hasn't worked out, and it's not that I don't believe he could do it. He feels like he's in a real prime position in Arizona. Again, I'm in Arizona, but it's like, I don't know. I see ETN. I see Breece Hall almost 8 times out of 10 getting drafted right where Conner goes or after. And I can't for the life of me take Conner over ETN or Breece Hall because they're my breakouts. I can't for the life of me take Conner over about 3 or 4 players that are often there. AJ Brown, Josh Allen. And I do like waiting on Burrow and Herbert if I think I can. So I'm not all about early quarterback. But it's just Conner's going in the 3rd round. It's too much for me. 4th round, I'd be okay, but I'm not taking him as my 3rd. If I had Conner as my 3rd drafted player on my team, I'm looking at my team, and I'm not excited about it.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, but I was looking at some of the other backs that are around him. I'm looking like at an Aaron Jones and a Leonard Fournette and a Kamara and a Barkley, right? And I'm looking at these other backs that are in that tier, and I'm nervous about those guys too. So, I mean, at least in Arizona, I feel like Connor's going to get the majority of the touches. Some of those other guys, I mean, I don't feel that way about them. So that's kind of why I feel like it's hard to maybe pass him in that situation, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Call in anytime.
All right.
You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. You have 30 seconds, good buddy.
All right, this is going to be really quick.
You better.
Any auction advice would be amazing towards the chat. We would all love it.
Auction advice. I'm going to say, bro, that you want to definitely call out players you don't want that are high dollar. The higher, the better. The number one overall player, Christian McCaffrey or JT, whatever. Call them out. Get people spending. Don't get impatient and say the names of the players you want. People that do that, they end up driving the price tag up. It's going to ruin the opportunity you'll have later when everybody's already spent their money. And past that, amazing. It's flow of draft. It's Breece Hall. It's like I've said before over and over. It's, you know, Burrow later, I think, more than any of the other quarterbacks, because in the throne draft right now, Burrow just went at 7.8. There are people that just don't see Burrow as a top 4 quarterback. I don't even understand it. Mahomes falls, but I would only take one of those quarterbacks if they go really cheaply. But drive prices up. Get people spending money, and then hope that someone else calls the player you want out. And I kind of let the bid get really close to the end before I get into it, so that I'm not like driving it with 3 or 4 people. Think about it. If there's 3 or 4 people going, and the price keeps going up fast, it makes people think this is a hot commodity right here. So try not to add to the back and forth until the very end at the player that you want. That's another trick.
Amazing. Thank you, Smitty.
All right, appreciate it. You. All right, we got any other calls? Dial in. Dial in to the show. Let's go to the voicemail group. I'm sorry, I might have to play some of these tomorrow. You guys loaded me up with voicemails. I love it.
Hey, Smitty, who do you have winning the boxing match between Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell?
Who's winning the boxing match between AP and Le'Veon Bell? AP, you're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you?
Smitty, I've been trying to get you all night.
What's up, fake Swayze? All right, you got 30 seconds.
Sorry, I had to use the toilet while I was waiting because I kept calling. I couldn't get through.
All right, you got 24 seconds.
Okay, Smitty, the new breaking news. Did you see the breaking news about the running backs?
What running backs? You got 14 seconds.
You got Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
You got Adrian Peterson versus Le'Veon Bell in a boxing match. Who do you got?
Yes, sir. I'm going to go with AP. And he's out of here.
Smitty, thank you very much.
Appreciate you. The Bruce.
Hey, Smitty, who's a better backup to grab later, Tony Pollard or Alexander Mattison?
We had that. That was a debate earlier. So Tony Pollard. But I do think Mattison is a must grab, and you can kind of get both.
Hey, Smitty, what later round tight end do you like between Dawson Knox, Dallas Goedert, and Pat Freiermuth?
Knox, Goedert, Freiermuth. Probably going to go with Knox, Freiermuth, Goedert in that order if I had to pick. But it's the Muth and Goedert one's pretty close, but Knox probably first. Knox is just a touchdown guy. Muth I love a lot, but he's got, I mean, he doesn't have Josh Allen throwing him the ball. So Josh Allen's the kicker on that one.
Smitty, do you think Antonio Gibson is worth a first and second round 2023 pick?
Gibson a what? First.
Smitty, do you think Antonio Gibson is worth a first and second round 2023
pick? If it's a late first rounder, maybe. Yeah, I would. For a late first rounder. But don't talk yourself into pretending it's a late first rounder when it's an early. Like, people do that. They're like, hey, Smitty, it's a late first rounder. Is it? Or do you just want me to sign off on the trade? So make sure it really is a late pick.
Smitty.
Ryan.
My question for you is, what's the best late round value? We're talking like rounds 7, 8, 9, 10. Personally, I like Brandon Cooks. He's been super consistent, top 15 wide receiver every year for like the past 4 or 5 years, except for one. I really like him. I find myself taking him everywhere. What's your value?
Good question. I'll answer that after. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Smitty, this is great. I'm watching it live right now. I'm an absolute maniac. I've already done 150 underdog. I've already maxed it out. I'm thinking, why don't we go over my top exposures and see what you think?
You've got 19 seconds. That's going to be hard.
Now, give me 1 second here. Let me just give you the top of each. My exposure for running back at 54%. I maxed all of them out, 150. I got David Montgomery at 54%. I got Breece Hall at 40%.
I like that.
I'm a freaking maniac.
I like that.
Wide receiver, I got Adam Thielen. I got Adam Thielen at 31%, my highest person. Debo at 28%. I got Dotson at 25%. Wide receiver exposure.
I love the Breece Hall. Not huge on Thielen myself, but hey, trust your gut. He's always kind of steady Eddie.
So. Yeah, and that's a late one. That's kind of late. Like it's a sixth round or something.
Yeah.
quickly here, we're tight end, and you gotta keep in mind some of the higher.
I'm gonna reset your timer
here
to 30.
Might even be my.
I'm gonna reset your timer to 30 seconds. So hit me with the best thing you got, and then we're jumping. Go.
Okay. Well, either way, who do you like right now? Right now, I really like Hayden Hurst as like my second or third tight end as a flyer with Joe Burrow. So I'm really happy about him getting him like as my second or third, like in an underdog. What do you think about something like that? Like, who are you liking as as your second, third? You're not counting on him as your like your main guy, but
you mean
who do you like
at tight end?
At tight end, yeah.
Yeah, at tight end, I'd probably say my favorite, like, second player to grab is probably going to be, I mean, Freiermuth going in, like, 10th or 11th round. If you're able to get to Cole Kmet's a good late guy to grab. Gesicki's pretty decent to grab. Goddard's probably not going to fall to your second drafted tight end. He's too good. Noah Fant's falling. He's okay. Tonyan's pretty good as your second tight end. Hurst is okay as your second tight end. Hooper,
like really
I'm not real big on Hooper. Taysom Hill is very interesting. If you get completely sniped and you get to the end of it and you're like, you know, crap, and then Taysom Hill's there and there's no tight ends left, it's like he's kind of an emergency, like, oh, well, I crapped the bed here, let me just grab him. But that's what I'm thinking. All right, man, I gotta let you go. Call back if you got another question. You can definitely cycle back through. Appreciate
thanks,
you
buddy.
Yeah, we gotta do something about the speed of the calls, but we'll figure it out in good measure. Maybe we'll have you guys vote, hang up, and if there's too many votes in a row, we hang up. I mean, you got to keep the call interesting. Who am I talking to right now?
It's Scott. Hey, Smitty.
Keep it spicy.
Something that might help these guys, man. I don't think they're understanding about the queue. You're going in and putting the players that you want in your queue, and then watching as the draft falls, seeing where the players are falling. I don't think everybody's understanding that. They're just getting hyped up on the players they want. Because if you actually go to some of these other drafts and you look and you do that, you'll pick up these players that we're talking about late, late, late.
I mean, I explain it all the time, man. Everything's about the pre-rank list.
Yeah, no, they're just not comprehending it because the only drafts that they're watching is the football show.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, I explain it in pretty good detail. I say over and over, like I beat it like a dead horse, man. I say everything revolves around the pre-rank list. If you're sitting there and Breece Hall is the eighth running back down, that means overall he's like the 25th. Overall player ranked by the pre-rank list. And if you are on the clock and Breece Hall is the 25 ranked player or the 10th ranked running back, there's no reason you need to grab him at that spot. He's going to, on average, especially when we're doing best ball and we're talking underdog fantasy promo code Smitty, then you're talking about an easy call. Let him go. Let him go. He'll come back around. If he doesn't, do another underdog draft. The odds are he'll come back around three times out of four. And so let it happen. Let it happen. Let it come naturally to you. Don't force anything. Use your pre-rank. I hammer it home a lot, bro. Maybe I got to do it more.
I know you do. They're just not comprehending it. But it's I got Hall in the sixth, and I got Kenneth Walker in the 8.9 today. You know, I'm doing some of my drafts in my leagues early because I'm sniping these players, but a lot of them are the ones that I have to work the waiver wire really hard during the year to get. We're getting them early.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
All right, buddy.
But I appreciate the content and everything, Smitty. Thank you.
I appreciate you calling anytime. Ron, I see the super chat here. How do I join the text? And I understand you have to keep the flow going. No stress here. Ron's easy going, bro. This guy, Ron's just with the boys on the submarine. Like, there's probably no more chill dude than Ron. Ron in a life or death situation would probably be really calm and collective. This guy, Ron, right here. This is the guy you want on your six when something's going down that's life-threatening. This guy's got your back. Ron, DM me on Instagram or email me through thefantasyfootballshow.com. There's a contact form. Email me through thefantasyfootballshow.com or DM me on Instagram. But it's basically on thefantasyfootballshow.com. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you?
But, Smitty, what do we do if we stutter?
Who is this? Is this Terry?
Yep.
What's up, Terry? Terry, you got 40 seconds. Everyone else gets 30. You get 40. Go.
Okay. Well, that's still nine down to 30. That really sucks.
Well, now you got 24. Go.
What do you think about the Lions upside this year and beyond with the way they drafted?
With who? Kyler?
The Lions.
Oh, the Lions?
They need a quarterback, and then I think they're set.
I mean, everything's on hold. From a full go, full throttle perspective until they get a quarterback in there. But Swift's going to ball out. Swift's going to have a big year. I think St. Brown's going to do well and have a big year. Jameson Williams is going to take another season to get completely right. I think by double-digit weeks, we'll be getting a taste of what Jameson Williams is all about, whether he's the real deal or not, whether he's the number one wide receiver in the entire draft class. I think Justin Ross and Jameson Williams are the two wide receivers to watch. Not the other guys. I like Garrett Wilson. I like Drake London. I'm not saying they're not good wide receivers, but these are Elijah Moores. Garrett Wilson is another Elijah Moore. Drake London, in my opinion, is another Elijah Moore. And you might get really upset if you're a big Drake London supporter or a dynasty owner, but I don't feel right now, and this could change, and I could eat crow later, and I'm not going to even care because we haven't seen him play yet in the NFL. Not that I don't make bold calls all the time without seeing players play. I haven't seen Breece Hall play in the NFL. But I've seen Breece Hall do enough for me to think he will do well. I haven't seen enough for me to think that Drake London's going to take the league by storm. And so when it comes to a guy like Jameson Williams, eventually I think he's going to get unleashed and look good and be, you know, healthy and show that explosion. His acceleration's phenomenal. He needs to get that acceleration back, which will take some time. Might be into next offseason before he gets some of that back. But yeah, Lions are a year away. They'll get another quarterback. The starting quarterback in 2023 is not currently on the Lions 2022 roster, in my opinion. So we're a ways away, but we'll see a lot of goodness coming from the Lions. They're going to have a pretty improved offense, and they'll do well. They'll do well enough.
Yeah, I can't wait till they get a quarterback. We'll really get to see our upside.
Yeah.
What they're going to be capable of.
Appreciate you, Terry.
All right.
Later, pal.
Sorry I went over like 40 seconds.
That's all right, Terry.
I knew it was going to happen. There ain't no way. I'd be like, where is it?
It's all right, Terry. Appreciate you.
All right.
Later. Ron, email me, Ron. Okay. You guys are like Twitter in the chat. Ruthless, man. During most of these calls now, everyone's like, finish him. I mean, maybe we do need to have like a vote, you know? Like if I see 4 thumbs down in a row or 4 thumbs up in a row. Well, no, if I see 4 thumbs down in a row, I hit the button. You know, maybe we go that route. If there's 4 thumbs down in a row, because it's hard for 4 people to do that. If you really like the call, you're not going to take part in that. 4 thumbs down in a row, you're deuced. And we'll have a deuce button. Finish him. He's deuced or whatever. So let's try it out with the next caller. So call in. You've got to stay entertaining. If we get 4 thumbs down in a row, you're gone. No complaining. No Denny getting upset at me later, Denny, because the audience decided for me to hang up on you. I can't have you taking offense to it. Even Terry. If Terry calls up, maybe Terry's commanded so much respect that he could babble and whatever he wants and no one's going to thumb down him. I don't know. We'll find out. Here we go. Test subject number 1. Entertain the people. You get 4 thumbs down, pal, whoever this is on the phone. I hang up. So it's up to you. What can I do for you? You're live.
Hi. In regards to ADP, who was the biggest bust for wide receiver and running back? I'll take my answer offline. Thanks.
Whoa. Dude got in and out. ADP, I forgot his question. ADP from last year or this year biggest bust? What did he say? Last year or this year? I think he's maybe saying this year based on ADP. I'll give an answer for this year. Based on ADP, Fournette comes to mind. Fournette comes to mind. Elliott in the 3rd round. I'm looking at the throne draft right now. 3rd round, Elliott comes to mind. What are people drafting Elliott for in the 3rd and 4th round? I don't understand it, especially 3rd. Or I'm sorry, 2nd and 3rd round. 4th round, I can understand Elliott in the 4th round. But not Elliott in the 2nd or 3rd round. Fournette in round 2 is just an absolute disaster waiting to happen. Just an absolute debacle. Just one of the worst. J.K. Dobbins in the 3rd round. Are people not listening when I tell them that he's not ready? That I don't understand. Okay. Anybody want to call in and test out the new theory? Or the new system? The new setup? The thumb down setup? We got to have... This is what we got to do. What's up? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show, buddy. Just to let you know, you get hung up on if you aren't entertaining, and I work for the people, and if the people say you aren't doing an entertaining job, I've got to hit the button. So go ahead. You're live.
What are your thoughts about Leonard Fournette showing up to camp looking like a BBW?
I don't think you're going to get thumbed down on that one. I think people are going to let you stay. I don't think you should have hung up. I think you sold yourself short. I think you thought our audience wasn't going to be entertained by you, and you just deuced out when you probably would have got a bunch of thumbs up. Vamp's thumbing you up. Vamp liked it. Okay. God. I think Leonard Fournette came to work. This is about as bad as coming to work without pants on. He came in overweight. He came in dropping footballs. And the player that they drafted that's nipping at his heels came in hungry and said, the job's mine. Who do you think's going to win? Mr. Leonard Fournette that's disappointed in the past? I don't think so. I don't think so. Who do you think's going to win this battle? Brian says he's not overweight. Brian, there's photos of it, bro. All right, I'm going to set up a nice system for this, for the phone lines. We're going to do it right. I'm going to have it very smooth. I'm going to participate too. If I don't like the topic, I'm going to hit the button. It's going to be similar to America's Got Talent. Red X goes up. Your third red X or the thumb down goes up. You're done. The phone call disconnects. That's it. We move on. No hard feelings. It's the way the show is. Understand the concept when you call in. Don't get all mad later. Don't go sipping on grandpa's cough medicine and get all upset at me later thinking I banned you, Denny.
But Smitty.
All right, guys. We are out of here. Appreciate every single one of you. I'm live Monday through Friday. 7 p.m. Eastern. That means I'll be back tomorrow live and in person. Do the Price is Right, Smitty Horn. Silver, appreciate all your work. You beast of a mod, you. Smitty, do you trade 2 23 firsts for Claypool and Claypool for JJ? Justin Jefferson? As long as one of them is not the 1.1 guaranteed, yes, I do that. I go get JJ. Pretty, pretty easy call for me. Meet the Woo, appreciate you. Go to thefantasyfootballshow.com. Get your one-on-one text advice with me. Ron, that's where you get it. You just order one of the services that is the text line. But you can message me. You can DM me on IG. Ron dropping another super chat. Look at this beast, man. Call in 30-second clock. Yeah, we're going to do something exciting. Let me reset this timer. So thefantasyfootballshow.com, get your one-on-one text advice with Smitty, get your bold predictions, your rankings. I invented the trade calculator in 2003, the instant-based trade calculator, and I've improved it every year. You can do multiple player trades. It uses auction dollars and gives you an auction dollar amount so you can't trick it. You can do a 3-for-1, a 2-for-1. Imagine if you had $100 to spend in an auction. This trade calculator will tell you how much these players add up to, how much these players add up to, and it gives you a real good indication as to what you're paying and what you should trade. So get on over to thefantasyfootballshow.com. Play Underdog Fantasy by going to thefantasyfootballshow.com and clicking on the Underdog banner at the top heading of the site, or just click the link in description below. Get into these best ball underdog drafts we're talking about, where you can scoop up these guys we're talking about constantly before their ADPs rise. And I answer every comment. See you tomorrow, 7 p.m. Later, Blackbeard. Later, Ricky. Later, BW. Ron, you're the man. I appreciate you, Ron. Silver. Robert. Official. Ricky. Ron's got our 6. Terry Roberts, appreciate you. Kenny P, of course, I appreciate Kenny. Ryan, I appreciate you. Vamp. BW in the hizzy. Hazelnut. Like seeing Hazelnut in here. Andrew Grace, appreciate you. RGB in the house. Jeb. Jeb's the man. Sonny. Sonny in the building, people. Frake. Fake Swayze. Tyler. Tyler, my man. Rod. What's up, Rod? Appreciate every single one of you. I will see you all tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. I imagine we're doing some mock drafting tonight. Who wants to mock draft tonight? Everybody want to mock draft tonight? Hit that thumb up button on your way out the door. Smash it. Dalvin Cook it. We only have, do we have 100? We have over 100 eyeballs still in here at the end. Do we have 100 thumbs up? That's the question. Punch the thumbs up button. Let's mock draft tonight. We'll probably do an emergency live stream tomorrow, and then I'll see you at 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. That means we'll probably do two lives before tomorrow's regular scheduled 7 p.m. Eastern. Who goes live more than me, Terry? 102 thumbs up. That's a good day's work, Terry. You can clock out. Later, Denny. Denny, I appreciate you. See you all tonight for some mock drafts. Rookie mock draft, sure, remind me. Peace out.